Quest. The government has lined up several projects running into billions of shillings to ensure a stable supply of water in the country and achieve the country's vision of universal access to water and sanitation by 2030. Water, Sanitation and Irrigation Cabinet Secretary Zachariah Mwangi Njeru said the Kenya Kwanza pledged to provide clean, safe water to Kenyans at their doorstep by 2030 and will push to ensure that this was achieved. My ministry will remain focused to realize the ultimate goal by President William Ruto to ensure in the next 6 years the provision of water and sanitation services for all Kenyans is achieved as part of the bottom-up economic transformation agenda in the country, said Njeru, adding that the move will also guarantee water availability for irrigation. Speaking in Nakuru during a public engagement on the medium-term plan for MTPIV, 2023-2027 at Waterbuck Hotel, the cabinet secretary indicated that to fulfill the Kenya Kwanza campaign pledge, the state will construct 100 large dams, 1,000 medium dams and over 4,000 dams and water pans. He said President Ruto's pledge was also in line with the constitution, which says that it is the right of every Kenyan to have access to clean, safe water by 2030. The CS pointed out that since Kenya had made a commitment under United Nations Agenda 2030 on sustainable development, the government will ensure proper management of water and sanitation for every Kenyan. This is reflected in Kenya's Constitution on the Right to a Reasonable Standard of Living, Section 43, Economics and Social Rights, which guarantees all citizens the rights to access clean and safe water and affordable sanitation, said Mr. Njeru. The CS said to realize this dream, those in the water sector must be proactive and become innovative in the use of technology to make every Kenyan have access to water. He told water providers to come up with better ideas on how to manage water supply so that there was no wastage, as was the case in various counties. In November last year, the cabinet approved rehabilitation of more than 4,000 water pans in the new plan that seeks to ensure a stable water supply. The plan, which will cost Shush 83 billion, includes the construction of 25 medium-sized dams serving mainly arid regions. The dams are expected to supply a cumulative total of 353 million liters, serving more than 600,000 households. The government has also announced plans to implement the Shush 21 billion Thika and Githunguri water and sanitation project in Kiambu County. The project, to be completed in the next 3 years, is expected to increase water supply for 1.2 million people in Thika and Githunguri towns and the semi-arid Athanga area of the neighboring Muranga County. Financed by the Government of Kenya and Danida Sustainable Infrastructure Finance, DSIF, the project is being implemented by the Athi Waterworks Development Agency, AWWDA. Busia County has received Shush 300 million from the national government for completion of the multi-million Malaba Malakisi water project. The project, funded through Lake Victoria Waterworks Development Agency, is expected to benefit at least 180,000 households. In Muranga, the Athi Waterworks Development Agency, AWWDA, is constructing Phase 2 of the Northern Collector Tunnel at a cost of Shush 12 billion, while Maragua 4 decameters is estimated to cost Shush 35 billion. In neighboring Kiambu, 5 dams have been lined up for construction in order to meet the county's pressing water demand. The dams are in Darugu 2, Kamiti, Thiririka, Ruiru 2 and Gatamayu, whose estimated cost is Shush 73 billion. In a further bid to quench thirsty residents of Thika and Githunguri, the government has announced plans to implement a Shush 21 billion water and sanitation project in Kiambu County. The project involves construction of Thika 3A Dam at the confluence of River Thika and Kiama, which will hold 14.6 billion liters of water. The ministry has also launched a six-year project to improve groundwater availability and management in the Horn of Africa borderlands. The project, dubbed the Horn of Africa Groundwater for Resilience Program, HOAGW4RP, will benefit the counties of Turkana, Marsabit, Mandera, Wajir, and Garissa, which are prone to drought and water scarcity. The project aims to increase sustainable access to and management of groundwater by drilling and rehabilitating 400 boreholes, providing strategies and policies to protect groundwater resources, and building the capacity of water service providers and users. Addressing the forum, Environment, Climate Change and Forestry Principal Secretary Engineer Festus Ingeno said Kenya has upped her national commitment to reducing greenhouse gas emissions in her strategy to cope with the global warming phenomenon. Njingeno said measures set out by the country to address climate action included an undertaking to conserve and restore 10.6 million hectares of degraded landscapes and ecosystems, through planting and nurturing 15 billion trees by 2032. The principal secretary said efforts to tackle climate action calls for an all-hands-on-the-deck approach that encompasses the participation of government entities at the national and county level, as well as private sector actors and the entire citizenry. He noted that addressing climate action is a costly affair, adding that the challenge of inadequate financial resources has been a hindrance for Kenya and other developing countries in effectively mounting climate change mitigation and adaptation initiatives. Njingeno said to address the challenge posed by inadequate resources, the government has, with support from development partners, initiated a program on financing locally led climate action, FLLOCA, to deliver locally led climate resilience actions and strengthen both the national and county government's capacity to manage climate risks. P.S. Njingeno reiterated the need for a whole-of-government approach to combat the adverse effects of climate change that have wreaked havoc on all sectors of the economy, resulting in a 5% loss in GDP annually. I am sure that all of you here must have been affected either directly or indirectly by climate change impacts in the last 1 year. We all witnessed the devastating droughts and floods that happened in the last 1 year, Njingeno noted. He said excess rains arising from climate change has spawned new strains of diseases in areas where they were previously unheard of and cited new malaria fevers reported in Marsabit and Wajir counties. Njingeno reiterated the commitment by the State Department for Environment and Climate Change to drive collective efforts to address the global challenge of climate change by various actors in the country. He observed that encroachment for agricultural activities, pollution, urbanization and climate change, among others, were the main threats to Kenya's wetlands. This, he added, has consequently led to loss of key wetlands and associated products and services. Wetlands are waterlogged areas, which can include marshes, swamps and bogs. They are critical habitats for countless plant and animal species. According to the PS, wetlands act as natural sponges, absorbing and filtering excess nutrients, pollutants and sediments from water bodies, which help to purify water and prevent flooding. Furthermore, wetlands are essential for biodiversity conservation. They provide critical habitat for migratory birds, fish and other wildlife. Wetlands are also important carbon sinks, with the ability to store large amounts of carbon in their soils and vegetation. He stated that by conserving and restoring wetlands, the country can help to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and combat climate change. While indicating that the state had banned grazing animals in forests, he asked people who had encroached wetlands and were making bricks, washing vehicles and draining off wetlands, for farming activities to stop forthwith. Principal Secretary, State Department for Lands and Physical Planning Nixon Cora, said that county physical planners should seek to balance demands for development with the need to protect the environment while achieving the devolved unit's social and economic objectives. He said the state was decentralizing land registries to sub-county levels, noting that new registries had been set up in Molo and Gilgil sub-counties to supplement the ones in Nakuru Town and Naivasha. Mr. Cora stated that they were digitizing land services to enhance efficiency, cut on bureaucracy and eliminate corrupt practices. Governor Susan Kihiko, in a speech read on her behalf by Deputy Governor David Konays, stated that the Shush 117 billion County Integrated Development Plan, CIDP, is largely focused on achieving industrialization by transforming the region's economic structure of subsistence farming to agricultural-led industrialization. Governor Kihika indicated that the CIDP 2023-2027 would also guide her economic development agenda for the next 5 years. The third generation CIDP is in line with the constitutional requirement that no government resources should be appropriated outside a planning framework. She said the document had been subjected to scrutiny by various stakeholders, including the public and the county assembly. Guided by the CIDP, Ms. Kihika pledged that her administration would promote sustainable agricultural practices, support smallholder farmers, and create value addition opportunities to ensure food security and boost the agro-based economy. In the infrastructure sector, the county boss indicated that priority would be made on the expansion and maintenance of road networks through the Imarisha Barabara program, and the enhancement of digital superhighway in the county. Grading and graveling of 2,000 kilometers of earth road through the Imarisha Barabara program and tarmacking 66 kilometers of roads within urban centers are among the plans contained in the document, Kihika said. She said her administration would explore the use of solar energy to power 80% of street lights under the County Street Lighting Master Plan program. The governor added, "The county will further seek to improve the healthcare facilities to enhance access to quality and affordable healthcare services. The county government is committed to invest in quality education and skills development initiatives in order to improve the transition rate in early childhood development education and graduation rate in vocational training centers."